What is up, boys and girls, everything in between? We are back. This is Bear With Us. I'm Matt. She's Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
It's been four freaking ever since we've done this.
Months.
This is weird.
We didn't expect it to be this long of a hiatus.
No.
But the hiatus continually extended itself because, let's be honest, life happened. Lots
so
to get
much.
To. Lots to cover. It's going to take us months to get through everything that we've experienced since we've been gone. But the important thing is, we are back.
We're back. We haven't done this since August. That is insane. It is January.
Because we said, hey, we'll just take the month of August off, and then once September swings around, we'll be all right. And then we had to go F around and buy a house.
Well, that's why we took time off, was because of the house.
Right. But moving into the house and all of the ancillary issues that come with becoming new homeowners, a little overwhelming. Oh, and then we just smoothly rolled right from the house buying process into the holidays.
Right. Well, you're missing something in between there.
What did I miss?
You're missing my birthday and also the day that we got engaged. Hello.
Yeah, I might have overlooked that one. It was kind
you guys,
of a major life event. Show it up there. We've got three
we
cameras
engaged.
In this here studio. We're back in the original studio, me studio on beautiful Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Where it all started.
Where it all began, trying to do this thing right this time around.
Well, not that we were doing it wrong before. It's
well,
just
I think
like,
we're
going
to
you know,
try to do it better.
I feel much more comfortable doing our podcast in the studio. I feel like it's an appointment. We have to go. We do it. I feel on my game. Whereas when we're doing it at home, it's like, I mean, I'm still in my pajamas as if I would be if I were home. But I just don't feel quite as professional when we're sitting at home.
I could not disagree with you any worse. I have enjoyed the hell out of doing this show from our home. I know it isn't quite as easy to summon the motivation sometimes
yeah.
whenever we're just kind of lazy and not feeling it to make a show. And I see your point about this is an appointment and you have
yes.
to be on, but that's kind of why I hate it because I don't want to be
feels
on
like work.
Not during this.
Yeah.
I like this podcast because this is not my work podcast.
Right.
My work podcast, I have to do preparation for minimal preparation, but preparation nonetheless. I have to feel like, okay, I have to be on. I think the reason we got to this point is I'm never really on. This is just me and you. Like, we
right.
talk about this all the time. So I love the studio. Having the equipment's fantastic. The team's great.
The sound quality is amazing.
It makes our podcast overall better. But the fact is, I have to now drag myself out of the house again to come here. And as you mentioned before we hit the record button, I look grumpy. Because
yes.
I am grumpy. Because I was very content laying on the couch. I was having a great time. I was enjoying my own company. And then you came home and you were like, babe, we have to record. And I said, oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
And
you very sound like
clearly,
a nagger.
You very clearly were not in the mood to be cordial. I don't think you said four words to me
yes,
in the car.
Yes, because I
here.
Called you when I was driving home and you pick up the phone and you said, what? Like, fuck you, what? How about, hi, baby. Hello, my fiance.
Well,
oh, my God. My beautiful fiance. I just love you.
We've made it 4 minutes or less into the podcast before I'm rethinking the idea of doing this live ever because your potty mouth is just completely out of control.
Well, because you pissed me off.
I pissed you off.
Yes.
And how did I piss you off?
By answering the phone with a what?
Let's add a little context to the conversation. You had called me 4 to 6 minutes prior, and we had a conversation. And on the first phone call, you said, hey, babe, we're about to fly out. We need to find a place to board the dog,
yes.
the bane of my existence, the unhappiness in my household, our four-legged nightmare pancake. We have to find a place to board him because you and I are about to hop on a plane
yes.
and head out of town for several days.
Yes. Well, because the place that I was looking up, they said that the place that we normally take him, they said that they didn't have any appointments, but to maybe call. And since I was driving, could you just do it for me? Could you call?
Not a problem.
Appreciate that.
No disagreement, no huffing or puffing. I said, yep, babe, I'll handle that. Immediately hang up the phone with you. Immediately call the dog boarding place, and I am on the phone with them. And my phone starts beeping and it's you.
Well, because I had a question about his vaccinations. And instead of you just being like, hold on, babe, I'm on the, you're like, what? Just like yesterday when I tried to call you. So this is the week between Christmas and New Year's, which is basically the week that nothing happens
at all. It's a void in everyone's life.
Nothing counts. Nothing matters. Calories don't count. You don't want to leave your house. You don't even know what day it is. And that's been basically our existence all week.
Also, by the way, we're recording this pre-New Year's. So even though we're going to say Happy New Year a whole bunch of times, it's not New Year yet. Because we're almost nothing but honest with you, even to a fault.
Okay, so basically, the other day, you were upstairs watching your shows. I was on the couch binging Emily in Paris because I'm obsessed and I'm excited that season two is out. And I'm thinking, you know, I really want some ice cream. And I was just thinking, well, let me include my fiance in on this because I can't get ice cream without him. He'll be upset. So I give him a little call because you can't really yell upstairs. And I'm, you know, I'm working through a little injury right now. So I couldn't walk all the way up the stairs to go ask you if you wanted ice cream. So I give you a little call and you're like, what? Again, a what? Baby, I was just wondering if you wanted some ice cream. I'm in the middle of the Matrix. Call me later. I'm like, okay, well then I guess I'll just go fuck myself.
Yeah, well, listen, I know you wanted ice cream, but what was going down in Io was far more important in my mindset at the time. I was very fully invested in the Matrix movie and I had done it all because you said you wanted to watch Emily in Paris, which I've never seen, sounds like literally the worst thing.
And I would not want you to watch it with me. I want to watch it by myself. Get the hell out of here.
Exactly. So I went upstairs.
Right.
Letting you have
so
your space.
So go f*** me for me wanting to include you on some ice cream. And he like could not give me the time of day, you guys. He was just like, what? Like, I'm trying to be nice here. I'm trying to include my ice cream rendezvous.
Well, if you could just, you know, adjust your halo for another moment. Realize what you're complaining about. That the two times that you have snapped at me or been unhappy with me because I answered what were both occasions where I was trying to give you space have requested.
You are a saint.
You wanted to be alone and watch your show, and you were doing that. So when you call me when Neo and Trin are in the middle of some
I don't even know anything about the Matrix.
Yeah, I know you don't, which is another reason that I'm completely rethinking all of the decisions I have made in the past several months, particularly on October 22nd, 2021.
Oh my God, should we talk about it?
We might as well
talk about it.
I forget most of it at this point. It's been so long.
We got engaged. We're engaged. It's so crazy. Last time we were doing this, we were not engaged. So it's just crazy. This is a relationship podcast. We try to talk about, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly in relationships. And here we are, engaged to be married.
If nothing else, if you have invested time out of your life listening to the two of us babble on incessantly about relationship advice, at least you can take solace. Couldn't think of the word I wanted to use there in that situation. Take solace in the fact that your two blithering idiot hosts have actually gotten engaged and set a wedding date. So we can't say that our relationship advice is complete bullshit because, I mean, we're doing the damn thing.
It works for us. And what works for us may not work for you. And what works for you or your cousin or your neighbor may not work for us. But all we can do is our best for each other and grow and learn and love. And
let's be perfectly honest. The things that work for us sometimes barely work.
What is that?
At all. What does that mean?
Barely
I was about to
all?
Dive into the story, the torrid tale of our engagement
well,
that nearly
do,
wasn't.
Before you do it,
would you want to talk about Emily in Paris?
No, what were you getting at when you said doesn't almost what?
In the business, we like to call those transitions.
Oh,
where
got
you take
it. Okay.
One
you
subject.
Guys, I'm still learning here. I'm not a professional podcaster. I'm still learning. I'm trying to pick up what Matt is putting down. And sometimes it goes over my head and I can't pick it up. Or maybe it's too heavy. I can't pick it up. Anyway, that's what he was trying to do, transition. And of course, I fucked it up. I'm sorry. I'm learning. This is our first one back in months. Please don't get mad at me. I don't want to cry our first podcast back. Please. Let's get into it because this is a story and I'm going to preface it with this. I am impossible to surprise.
Say that again.
I am impossible to surprise.
Louder for those in the back.
My name is Leah and I am impossible to surprise and I'm aware. I know this. So let's start it out. How do we start it out? It's October. You're in Saudi Arabia.
I'm going to backtrack a little bit further because, yes, Saudi Arabia is a character in this here tale, but it began several weeks prior.
Okay.
When I was in a bit of a funk, personally, had nothing to do with you or I was just having, you know, a moody week, and I just kind of have felt stuck, and I need something to look forward to, something to do. And I had known forever plus one day now that I was eventually going to propose to you.
Aw, baby.
Truth be told, I had every intention of doing it Christmas Eve, which, as you know, is our night. We shine in a familial yes. sense on Christmas Eve. We host and do it up, and it's a big party, and everyone has a great time. And I thought to myself, what better time to propose to Leah than when both of our families are together and everyone we love is together in the same room? It'd be a great moment.
No.
Just to be sure, because you defy every odd or logical thought process when it comes to what you like, I double checked with your beloved sister Bree, and she promptly said, "No, you stupid asshole, you can't propose on Christmas Eve. Everyone does that."
Thank you. Thank God for Bree. Thank God for Bree, because that's exactly what I would think, and that's like, oh, I'm so grateful for her. I'm so grateful she told me that.
And to anybody who might be
listening, because everyone gets engaged on Christmas
Eve. Listen,
and there's nothing wrong with that, but I don't want to be like everyone else.
Anyone listening to this who may have gotten engaged on Christmas Eve, or maybe intends on getting engaged next Christmas Eve, it's fine, okay? It just wasn't enough for Leah. It wasn't on brand.
Here's why it's not fine. Because to me, Christmas is already magical. It's already special. And you kind of want to have two special moments. You don't want your special moment. When you get engaged, it's something that you will remember forever. And it's special. And you want it to be a moment of its own and stand alone. And not be, oh, well, yeah, it was also Christmas Eve. It's like anyone who's born on Christmas Day, that sucks. I feel bad.
Fair enough. Well, anyway, as I began this process, which was a process, quite literally, over the span of well over a month.
Oh.
Placed the order for the ring, which I did not even need to shop for, which, again, credit to your sister. I said, hey, I'm thinking of going ring shopping. Maybe you can give me a few pointers, maybe some hints here and there. And instead she goes, no, this is the one she wants. This is the ring. And rather than try to surprise you or impress you, which, as you have noted on multiple occasions, is f***ing impossible,
Jesus.
I stuck with your sister's suggestion, and I ordered the exact ring that you had apparently, allegedly, at some point in the past told her, I want a ring like this, so I just ordered that one. Now, order the ring. Everything's good. I hit send or purchase or...
I can't even believe you would buy a diamond online without seeing it in person. That blows my mind.
Yeah, well, I didn't feel really good about it either way.
I don't know how you would do that.
I did a whole bunch of research. The Better Business Bureau was involved. I did some extensive research to make sure that this was legitimate. So no sooner do I hit, all right, complete transaction, I have now just watched a bunch of money evaporate into thin air, so much so that I think I became physically ill for several minutes. And then I decided to check back, because I was like, okay, I just bought this thing. So I just refreshed the thing on the website, and now all of a sudden the website says it's sold out. And I said, what are the odds that I happened to get the very last one of the one ring that you had sent to your sister months ago, and she had relayed on to me, and I finally got the ring. It was the last one. It seemed too good to be true. I was nervous. So I called back. That department was not in that day. The purchase department was different than the sales department, something, something, something. I'm having basically a panic attack that I'm trying my best to withhold from you. Or,
was I around when you were doing
this? Oh, yeah, you were around. You were around, and I'm sure you were just like, oh, God, he's being emo again. Why is he such a dick? And it's because I was stressed out, because I couldn't verify that this exorbitant amount of money that I had just spent actually went to what I wanted it to go to. That's all I wanted, just a confirmation. Like, hey, it's okay, that's fine. Yes, you're getting what you ordered. So I wait several days. Finally get the confirmation. Yes, no worries, it's the ring you got. Unfortunately, we didn't have the size that you, Leah, required. So we have to
tiny fingers.
We have to rebuild the ring and resize it. Okay, perfectly understandable. I get it. Take your time. I'm not in any rush. At this point, I'm still thinking Christmas Eve is a possibility. Finally gets to the point where we're up against it. I have now talked to your sister and decided that it will not be for Christmas Eve. I'm thinking birthday present.
Right.
Birthday present, October 23rd. I know that date. I know when it is. That's when I'm going to do it. I've now steeled my nerves, and I have told myself this is when I'm going to do it. Still haven't received the ring.
Jeez.
getting shipping updates. The company's great to deal with. They're back and forth with me, calling me, which is also awesome when I'm anywhere with you and I get a call from this jeweler saying this, that, and other thing. So I'm really doing my best to be covert.
Right.
I've got this whole secret background mission happening concurrently with our life. And I'm trying not to let it bleed over and stress me out. Anyway, I call them and I say, listen, I'm about to leave the country. I need this ring by Friday because Saturday I'm getting on an airplane and I won't be back anywhere before Leah's birthday, the intended date of proposal.
Right.
I get an email saying, don't worry, your ring will be there no later than 3 p.m. on Friday. And I say, okay, great. She is at work. We are still on separate brands at this moment. And I say, this is perfect. I'm home Friday. Leah's not home. I've got all day. I'm sitting in my house. I am waiting to receive this joyous product. And I get an email at about noon on Friday. Sorry, due to shipping issues, it will now arrive Monday. Now, normally that's not a big deal. Correct. Right. You order something on Friday, it comes Monday. It's life. Or anything you order off Amazon or you shop online all the time. This is going to happen. The problem now is I'm going to be out of the country on Monday.
And
who is going
home?
To be home
me.
To retrieve and sign for said package?
This is. Let me take over from here.
Okay.
This is where you f***ed up. This is where it all went wrong. Because Matt told me he has a piece of podcasting equipment coming in. It's going to be in a small envelope. I can just throw it in my bag and bring it with me. Because here's the thing. So I was going to my family's house in Boston on Wednesday. And then we were going to meet up in Boston on Friday when you came back from...
Correct.
With from Saudi Arabia. Yes. So I had to take this podcasting piece... said Matt, and bring it with me to Boston so he could have it and he'd do his podcast on the road.
I'm going to cut you off right there just because you make it sound as though I had like, oh, you said this is where I effed up.
Because this is where you effed up because you said it's in a little envelope. You said, oh, it's just in a small envelope. You can throw it right in your bag. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So then when the piece...
But mind you, you're glossing over the fact that the only reason I told you it was a piece of podcast equipment was because I was stuck. I needed you to sign for the ring
so that
I could get the ring.
But if you just said, oh, it's in a box, don't even worry about taking it out. Just throw it in your bag. It's in a big box. Because this is what happened. It showed up. I signed for it. It was in a large, large, like UPS or FedEx box.
Like a standard UPS
shipping box. It was like big. So I couldn't put this in. And he's like, can you please just pack it in your carry-on because it's an important piece of equipment. And I was like, okay, if it's just a small piece in an envelope, great, no problem. So now it's Tuesday night. I'm going to pack all my stuff up because I'm leaving Wednesday morning to go to Boston. And I open the box to take out said small envelope.
Did you call me before you opened the box?
Why would I call you before I opened the box?
I don't know, because it's a federal offense you're about to commit.
Oh. You're the one who told me to bring the envelope to Boston. So I opened the box, and when I opened the box, I didn't see the brand. I didn't see anything, but I just saw purple, and I knew that this was because the ring that I liked, I knew that's the box, and I was like, it was like this huge case that it came in. So I just like closed the box real quick, and I was like, holy shit, oh my god, this is a ring, oh my god. What? I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe I'm just like overreacting. Maybe it's not a ring. I don't know. So then I'm trying to take this box, huge box, and put it in my carry-on. It does not even fit. Even if I take everything out of my carry-on, this box doesn't fit in the suitcase. So I have to put it in my checked bag. So now Matt is texting me, hey, by the way, did you get my...
I'm in Saudi Arabia, as a reminder.
Yes.
In the middle of the desert.
And he's asking me, hey, did you put this in your bag? I said, yes, but it doesn't fit my carry-on. He's like, what? He's like, well, I really need this. It's very important. It needs to go in your carry-on. I'm like sending him pictures. Babe, the box does not fit in the carry-on. Even if I take everything out, it does not fit in the carry-on. So then I'm like, it's fine. I just put it in the bag. And now he's texting me, do you have a lock on your checked bag? How long have I known you? 3 years? When do I ever put a lock on my checked bag?
All right. Now, this is where I want everyone to listen carefully and analyze with your logical brains what Leah just said, transposed with what I'm about to tell you, and you decide who was the crazy one. It wasn't me. I am freaking out because I am in Saudi Arabia on the other side of the planet, knowing you are about to jump on an airplane, knowing that you have got a very, very expensive, grandiose engagement ring in your and checked luggage that I know you don't lock. So here I am in Saudi Arabia, 7 hours in the future, full-blown panic attack in my room. I'm talking heavy breathing, sweating bullets. I am freaking out like I never have in my life because I'm going, oh my God, you literally hear one story every day about somebody loses their luggage. Oh, it not only is it a Tumi bag with all of your stuff in it anyway, which I'm amazed that you don't lock anyway.
Well, you can't lock it.
The hell you can. It's got zippers on it. They make stuff for that.
Yeah, but then they have to be able to unlock it.
Oh, okay. Well, since...
it's illegal to lock, put a lock on your bag or they'll break it.
Okay, so maybe knowing all that, you would have taken the ring that you saw in advance.
I didn't see the ring. I saw the side of the box in the box. It was a big box that it came in, which now we know. We'll post a picture, you guys. You'll see. It's a big box that you slide something out of it, and then the ring box is inside the big box, which was in a FedEx box. So there was three fucking boxes. It was basically like, what do you call those little dolls? With the doll inside the doll. Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it felt like.
Because that tends to happen when you've got something of great value.
I'm not going to just assume it's diamond ring. I did not know for sure. I just had an idea. I was like.
You were like, oh, that's a Tiffany box. It's probably coasters.
No, but I just wasn't sure. Because I only saw a little glimpse of.
Anyway,
I get to Boston. And mind you, it's a direct flight. I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. Like, I'm not going to lose my bag. As soon as I land, I get my little bag and I tell Matt, oh my God, I got my bag. No big deal. He's like, oh, thank God. I'm like, you're not doing a great job at no selling this whole situation and downplaying it. So it's like, I already have an inkling that this is happening and your obsession with the box and the bag only made it worse. Rather than just be like, oh, no big deal. Like, it off. At least play it cool, man.
I'm not playing it cool. Not with something
of
that.
Future fiance.
No. Listen, you already knew what was coming. So this is ultimately all of the stress that I endured was all for naught because as you just admitted, you knew what was coming.
You guys,
anyway.
This isn't even half of the madness of the story.
It only gets worse.
It only gets worse.
This is the panic that I endured for the days leading up to. While I know it's coming, now I have all intentions. We're in Boston.
Wait, let me just cut you off a little bit. I have to tell my backstory, right? So I
you opened the box.
I
you knew you were getting a ring,
Brianna,
and you checked it
my
in your
sister,
bag. You're
I FaceTime Brianna. I'm like, I know what Matt's gonna do this weekend. She's like, what? What do you mean? I'm like, I know. I'm like, this motherfucker told me that I have an envelope of a podcast piece, but I opened the box. I see. I'm like, I know what's happening. She's like, I tried to tell him. You know, it's so funny. We need to get her on the podcast to tell her side of the story. Maybe next week we'll get her because I'm telling you, her side of the story is hilarious. Anyway, so she said, well, do you have any requests? I said, well, it better be romantic. Like, I don't want to do it with everyone around. I want it to just be us. When you get engaged, you don't want there to be a bunch of people around. You want it to be you and your f-ing partner and have it be romantic. She's like, okay, I'm on it. Proceed.
Now, I take a 17-hour flight back to the United States and I land in Chicago where I have about a 3-hour layover before heading to Boston. Now, in my mind, I had known that Friday night we had plans to go to dinner with your parents and your sister, which was fine. That had been the plan all along. I was fine with it. I knew I was going to be terribly jet lagged. My body would likely not know what planet I was on, but I was going to just try to put on a brave face and power through dinner and get a good night's sleep. Now, mind you, credit where it is due to your sister who helped me out exponentially more than anyone else in this process. So I'm not throwing Bree under the bus, but what happened next was a little bit of a miscommunication that threw a mega wrench into things. Whereas I am in Chicago in the Delta Lounge waiting to get onto my flight for Boston and I'm texting Brianna and I'm saying, hey, we're doing all of the details of the night that we're going to be the lead up to the proposal.
For my birthday.
It was supposed to take place on your birthday, the 23rd.
The Saturday.
Because we had no plans. We were going to go to dinner. And then I said, okay, beautiful. We're going to go to dinner afterwards. I'm taking you out. Got this, that, the other thing all lined up. As I am taking off from Chicago to Boston, I receive a text message from Bree saying, you're all set for tonight. And I responded, tonight? ? And she said, yep. 9 p.m. And I went,
You thought it was happening the next night?
What do you mean I thought? It was my idea. The whole plan was supposed to take place on Saturday. But Bree, bless her soul, was trying to do me a solid and did got all the details right. She got the thing set up the way I wanted it. Just 24 hours earlier than I was expecting it. So rather than getting off a plane, going to dinner with your parents and having a good night's sleep and having a day that we could just hang out and I could really ease into this whole night as planned, now it's land, get to the hotel. You think you're going to take a nap, Matt? Oh, no, you're not. You're going straight to dinner. And in the midst of you being at dinner, have to figure out how all these chips are going to fall into place. Right. And somehow they did, but it got worse.
Oh, my God. It gets so much worse, you guys. So I had reservations for us at this place called Salty Girl in Boston. So if you're in, I mean, the food is phenomenal there. So we go to dinner and it's actually pretty nice out. You know, for October in Boston, it was pretty beautiful. So we're all walking to dinner and we sit down in the booth. Mind you, Matt puts his jacket down. I take his jacket and I like throw it to the other side.
No. You made that sound way too innocent. Because again,
I didn't
this was
know.
Approximately the ninth time I nearly had a heart attack in attempting to propose. I hadn't even gotten to ask you the question yet. I shouldn't even have been afraid yet. We get to the restaurant and I had obtained the ring from your luggage due to a little diversion from your parents while we were all in the same hotel. So shout out to them for that. Get the ring. It is now in my breast pocket of my leather jacket. My leather jacket that I wear all the time.
Right.
Every day. The one that you got for me, my favorite piece of clothing. It's going to be close. I'm not going to lose it.
Well, the fact you didn't keep it in a box, you just had it floating in your pocket, that's kind of crazy, babe. That's a little risky.
You yourself just said that the box was way too big.
The ring box.
There was
I'm
big.
Saying.
It was big. There were multiple rings. It wasn't just a ring. It wasn't just the engagement ring. There's a wedding band involved.
Wedding band,
it wasn't like a typical little ring box size thing.
No, I know.
Trust me. I'm fine. I got this at this point in my head. I have the ring in my pocket. I sit down next to you in a booth, in a relatively classy restaurant.
Yeah, it's a pretty big booth.
Gently pass you my jacket.
No, you put it down. I was like, oh, babe, let me take this for you. Because you had it next to you on the other side.
Oh, even better.
And I was like, oh, let me take this for you. I took the jacket and I flung it.
Threw it. Threw the jacket.
I wasn't thinking.
Just threw it into the corner of the booth.
I mean.
And I you could have made diamonds in my I was that freaked out in that moment.
What does that mean?
You ever heard your pucker so tight, you put a diamond in there.
No, I've
coal
never
in there,
heard that.
Come out a diamond.
I'd like to, you know.
Just stay away from my particularly after this freaking debacle.
So anywho, we're all at dinner.
We're all at dinner. And now this part you're not supposed to know.
Right.
Now know. But
right.
At the time, the plan was at approximately 8 p.m., your dad was going to say that he was tired because he had traveled that day, et cetera, and he just wanted to go back to the room, which would have given your mom an easy out to say, hey, daddy's tired, we're going to go back to the room. Brianna was going to say, I'm a little tired too, I think I'm just going to go back with them.
But here's the thing, that would never be believable because my parents would just never leave and Bree would never leave. Like, it's our only time hanging out, we never go to dinner.
I'm telling you what the plan was.
Right.
That we concocted together.
Right. Well, that's on them for saying that. I blame them.
Okay. Leah still has not been at fault in any point during this story. This is
not
all,
yet.
All of us. This is our fault for planning poorly. Sometime at about 7:30 or 7:40, while I know that the plan is about to be executed, while I'm waiting for your dad to give me the high sign that's like, hey, this is it. The expectation is for you and I to be at the restaurant with nowhere to go and a pretty early evening so that I could hypothetically just say, hey, I got somewhere. Let's go. We could, you know, go hang out. Right? Sure enough. Take you where we got to go. We're there. Everything's great. Easy peasy. Right? 7:30, for whatever reason. I don't know if your mom was just excited, anxious. She just decided to go into business for herself and fake a stomach illness. At a seafood restaurant.
You can't make this up.
In front of you and your sister and your dad, somehow I was the only one at the table who wasn't freaked out.
Right.
Because they all went, oh my, you're sick. Your mom, bless her heart, was intentionally trying to get the process on a roll.
Right.
But for whatever reason, just jumped the gun by a solid 45 minutes.
Right.
And now, rather than just people being tired and wanting to go back to their hotel room because they're parents and they don't want to be out late partying on a Friday night, now everyone is terrified that your mom has got food poisoning.
I know. I felt so bad. So then everyone left, and Bree's like, well, I'm going to go with them and just make sure. And I'm like, so now Matt and I are just sitting in the booth. I'm like, well, I'm not. He's like, let's just go out. Let's go have a drink somewhere. Because now I know in hindsight what you're trying to do. But sitting there, I'm like, no, my mom is sick. I'm not just going to go out and leave my mom to just fend for herself. And while my dad and sister are trying to take care of her, I never get to see my family. We never hang out. So I'm like, I'm going to go back to the hotel. We're going to see what's wrong, and we'll go from there.
So we get back to the hotel where your dad was waiting in the bar in the hotel
for us,
which to me should have let you know that there was no real problem.
No, because my sister would take care of my mom. My dad is like, oh, whatever, she's fine.
But obviously your mom was not on death's doorstep.
But I didn't know that, because my mom was supposedly, from what I knew, from what Bree told me, my mom was in the hotel room. Bree went to go look for Pepto-Bismol and Tums for my mom. Mind you, I'm calling my sister. She never not answers her phone, ever, for me at least. And I'm looking at the souvenir shop, like the gift shop in the hotel, and I see medicine, and I'm like calling her. I'm like, Bree, what the hell? What are you doing? There's medicine right here. She goes, I'm out looking for medicine. I'm driving. I'm
also,
like,
your sister's a nurse.
She's a nurse, exactly.
Which, for some reason, you did not trust your nurse sister enough to take
because
care of your mother.
It just was fishy. It was just really weird that my mom all of a sudden was sick, and that, you know, my sister wasn't answering her phone. That to me is what, if Bree answered her phone, I wouldn't have worried so much about it.
So finally, after, I don't know, 30 minutes in the hotel bar while we were watching baseball, I think the World Series was still on, your dad, clearly not concerned that your mom is dying.
No, but then he was, because remember, I'm calling my sister, and then my dad is now calling my sister, hey, is mom okay? Like, he was starting to believe it.
No, no, no. What your dad was trying to do was bail me out, because he wanted to be able to say to you with any level of certainty, oh, your mom's
She's fine.
But he saw you freaking out, so he was trying to appease you.
Yeah.
Now I'm going, come on, babe, let's just go out. The night's still early. We could still go get a drink somewhere. And you yelled at me.
Because it truly, truly was killing me and breaking my heart that, like, we couldn't hang out with my family. And to me, for you, it felt insensitive for you to just be like, no, babe, like, let's just go out and party, when my mom is sick, my dad is at the bar by himself, and my sister's trying to find my mom medicine. So I'm like, this is not okay. This is really breaking my heart that my boyfriend just wants to go out and party rather than. So then finally, Brianna says, get in the Uber, Leah. I'm like, what Uber? Like, I didn't even know there was an Uber. Finally, she answered.
There were three Ubers.
I didn't know.
The first two I had to cancel because you refused to leave the hotel bar because you were convinced your mother was dying.
I did
Meanwhile,
not think she was
your
dying.
Entire family is just trying to go, Matt, we're trying to help you here, and public enemy number one over here refusing to cooperate under any circumstance.
I know, and it's my own fault, but you can't blame me for just wanting to be with my family. I had no idea this was happening. I didn't know that. I figured if we're getting engaged, it's happening on my birthday. So I did not think this was at all part of the plan. So finally, when Bree finally answered, I must have called her 40 times. I'm texting her, Bree, Anna, answer the phone. What is wrong with you? There's this medicine right here. And finally she answered her phone. She's like, Leah, get in the Uber. And I'm like, oh, it's happening.
So again, for the second time in this same event, you have spoiled your own surprise.
I know. My own fault.
So, since you knew it was coming, I hope you have a very, very crystal clear recollection of how it actually went down.
Yes.
So
we finally get in an Uber and we're driving, and now I feel so bad. I know, he's
like,
so mad at me.
Are you kidding me? Of what, one night that I just want things to be fine. And I am actively pissed off because I have every step of the way from the shipping of the ring to getting you to where we needed to be was a fight. And I'm going, well, maybe this is the universe saying, Matt,
That's
we tried to warn
to you.
You.
That's what I asked you. I said.
Trust me. I believed it for a while. And then I went, well, you know.
Anyway, we get in the Uber, and now we're driving, and I'm wondering where we're driving. I have no idea. And we show up, and we get to Boston Harbor, and basically we get on this really really ridiculously cute sailboat, and there's rose petals everywhere. There's some Veuve, which is my favorite champagne, and I'm like, okay, this is happening now. And now I can relax. Now I'm cool as a cucumber. Now I get it. Now this is what happened was my mom and sister had to leave dinner to go set up the sailboat. They're the ones that put the rose petals and the champagne and got everything set up. So now, obviously, in hindsight, I get it. But of course, I'm a control freak, and I get it, and I hate that about myself. I love it about myself, but it is what it is. I can't help it. I apologize, and I feel awful that I ruined my own engagement story. However, it does make for a great story. We get on the boat, you know, and then we get on the boat, tell the story.
There's more.
Tell the story.
So we get on the boat on time, somehow, miraculously, and it was everything that I had hoped it would be. Yes. The captain was awesome.
So quintessential Boston. He was just so sweet.
It was a beautiful night. The city looked gorgeous. Everything was perfect. And I said to the captain, who offered to take a photo when I actually popped the question, and I said, hey, you know, whenever we get somewhere that you – they do this a lot.
Right.
This guy, this it probably engaged 12 people that week. This is, I guess, a pretty common thing. So he goes, yeah. He goes, just come, you come over and give me your phone when you're going to do it. That way I'll take a picture of it. I said, okay, perfect. So I'm like, all right, we stop the boat right in the front of the city.
We're the only boat in the harbor, by the way. There's no one out there.
It's the end of October. There are no boats.
It was so cool. It was magical.
And the lights were beautiful and the sky and everything was absolutely perfect for what it was. And I thought, oh, this is great. So he stops the boat. And we're looking at the city of Boston. And he goes, why don't you guys go sit up on the front of the boat? It's a little more comfortable up there. You have some more room. I say, okay, great. So I need you to imagine a sailboat in your mind where the mast is in the dead center of the front of the boat. If you've ever seen a sailboat, you know what I'm talking about. The initial lineup that the captain and his first mate will say lined us up was the sail, then Leah, then me. And then
the guardrail to
the right of the boat. So I had ample room. All I was going to have to do is shift my hips and boom, I'm on one knee right there in front of Leah, right in position with the ring at the ready. So we sit there and just start getting comfortable. And I'm like, all right, here we go. It's about time. The captain speaks up and goes, you know what, guys, I think you could probably see it better from the other side of the boat. So now Leah, who is next to the mast, shifts to the other side of the mast, but to the outside, which is now where the guardrail is, where I was on the opposite side.
Right.
Now, the only space remaining on the front of the boat is between the mast, the giant sail, and Leah, to where I am seated like a 12-year-old boy with my legs straight out in front of me, feet to the heavens, no room to move, no room to go anywhere. And I go, this is it. This is it. To the last possible minute, to the last possible thing that could have gone wrong. It has gone wrong. I am not even in the right position to get on my knee and ask the question. So here goes nothing.
I think at that point he was so annoyed. He just was basically like,
I was defeated.
Yeah. I could tell you were over it.
I was defeated by my own plans.
Because you didn't even have a speech or anything. I did. It was very like.
I did have a speech.
Well,
and
you
by
didn't
that
say
point,
a speech.
By that point, there was no way I would have gotten through it. I would have been interrupted or somehow offended you or said the wrong thing and you would have gotten off and we'd have gone home.
Why are you still in my pocket. I get I'm a little bit of a control freak, babe, but come on. Give me a little credit. Come on. Anyway, so I was saying, oh, it's my birthday. You know, I hope it's the best year ever, whatever. And he was like, well, hopefully it is the best year. Maybe it's the year we do this. Maybe it's the year we do that. And maybe it's the year you'll become my wife. And I'm like, aw. Like, that was cute.
That was it. That was the response I got. Aw. Not drama, not tears, not ugly
crying.
Well, because
it wasn't a dramatic thing. Aww. It was just very like, oh, here's your ring. And then I put the ring on and like, it was amazing. And we just had the best ride in the harbor.
Wait a minute. It wasn't just, here's your ring.
Yes, that's what happened.
Are you kidding
you
me?
You said, I hope it's the year you become my wife. And then you gave me the ring.
And I was like, oh my. Yeah. Well, you just totally downplayed it. You were like, oh, and then he gave me my ring and it was nice.
Well, that is what happened. I mean, do we need to share every little intimate detail? Like, we know what happened. I just think overall, it was very romantic and we had the most beautiful ride on the harbor. And from that point on, obviously, there was no fighting. There was no drama. It was just perfect. We got back to the dock and we had an Uber. We Ubered back to our hotel and we met up with my family.
Oh, we're not dead. Amazingly enough.
They were there. We all had drinks and celebrated.
I had to recreate the proposal in the yard house.
Yes, you did recreate it in the bar for everyone.
Plenty of strangers who seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, they all loved it.
Actually got much more joy out of it than Leah did. They very much, everyone enjoyed it very, very greatly. To the point where when I went down to the lobby the next morning to get whatever, they recognized me and said, oh, aren't you the one that got engaged? And let me tell you what a weird feeling that is. What an uncomfortable notoriety when they know that you're the guy who got engaged in the restaurant of the hotel the night before. Not exactly.
We're like, that's not how it happened, yeah, but we recreated it and it was really cute.
You know
cute.
What? If that's what it is, then else. I had the Murphy's Law of engagements.
Yeah, it was, I mean, every step of the way there was a story, but you know what? It makes for a great tale and I wouldn't have changed anything about it. It all works out the way it's supposed to and we had the best weekend. It was just so much fun. And it was nice to have my family there and I was happy they were a part of it and it's just hilarious. I mean, listening to Matt tell the story to anyone who's like, oh, how'd you get engaged? It's like, the short story is we got engaged on Boston Harbor on a sailboat. It was great. The long story is do you have 45 minutes? Because there's a lot.
Anything that could have gone wrong did, aside from the result being the one that I so desired. So yes, she said yes, in case y'all didn't figure that out yet by now.
Was there even like a little inkling of a doubt that you were thought maybe I would say no?
The first time I told you you loved me, the first time I told you I love you, you just kind of smiled and hugged me. I was prepared for anything, basically.
Really? You did not think I was going to say yes?
I was prepared for anything.
Babe.
Particularly when every sign that the universe could have offered me was run. And I just soldiered through. So here I am, engaged, in love, happy, madly, madly in love, excited for the new year and our impending nuptials.
I will say it's been a great few months. We really have just been soaking up, like, being in love and I just love it. I like being engaged. I really do. It's fun. I feel like it's weird because I never thought, like, what was it that you said? Because I asked you, I think it was the night that we got engaged. I said, when did you know? Like, when did you know you were definitely going to, I mean, obviously you said you've known forever you were going to propose to me, but you told me.
I like that you rolled your eyes and glossed over
that. Well,
because
I'm just saying,
oh, that other time you just
bullshitted me. I'm just saying, you said something along the lines of when I said, you know, it just feels weird to call you my boyfriend because we feel so much more than that, you know? Like when you're a teenager, you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but we're very serious. We have a home together, you know? We have a life together and it just feels different to just say, oh, you're just my boyfriend. So, I don't know. I love being engaged. It feels very permanent. Like, you can't go anywhere. I have you on a leash.
Lucky me.
Lucky me.
We've been at this for a while, and I know that this is the time in the show where I usually ask you a very important question, and I think it's time we get to it.
I know. I'm sorry, guys, if that was really long, if you guys were just fast-forwarding that
story. No, don't apologize to them. They came back. They came back willingly, and they had to expect we had some sort of nonsense to ramble about, so that was it. Except this wasn't nonsense. This is actual real-life occurrence.
Right.
We are actually engaged, and
it's really happening.
That was the messy process to get there. So for all of you gentlemen who might, you know, be having a hard time from time to time, the good news is it never gets any easier. But if you're lucky, you'll have a hot chick that's giving you trouble.
It's been so long, you guys. Oh, my gosh. I hope I know the words. Here's the mail. It never fails and makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to well. Mail! Well, still got it. All right. Question number one, honey. Hold on. I'm trying to find them. So these are all on theme for our theme today, which is marriage, engagement, all of that.
We have themes now?
Well, no, I'm just saying this is on theme. Like, we should answer these questions today because they have to do with what we've been talking about.
Oh, okay.
I'm planning our wedding, but I can't bring myself to ask my fiance for help because I don't want to give up control.
Did you write this question?
Actually, I did not. But so here's the thing. Our wedding, can we tell them our date of our wedding?
No.
We can't?
No.
But it's soon, you guys. It's pretty soon. It's in a few months, which is crazy. So it's been a lot. We got engaged in October and we're getting married in just like a few months. So I've been very busy. I did hire a wedding planner and my sister's been helping me a lot. And I've been trying to keep the stress off of Matt. So I just kind of go to him when it's like, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think about this? And just give him options and listen to his opinion. And then we move on from there.
Oh, by the way, I've been texting back and forth with a musician again today. We'll talk about that later. Okay. Off the air.
Okay, great.
I'll just tell you now so I didn't forget. Good.
Okay, good. So here's when we were talking about our wedding, it's very small. We just want it to be fun for our guests and have a great time and no pressure. Weddings to me are overrated, wouldn't you say?
Yep.
It's like so much money, so much time, so much effort for one day. It's insane. I just feel like a lot of it is a waste.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's usually an exorbitant amount of money spent so that everyone else enjoys the wedding when it's yours and right. You're just busy making sure everybody has what they need and is where they're at and who's going to sit next to who and who likes what food and who's a vegan and who can't eat gluten. And there's so much nonsense that goes into it that it's like, wait a minute, you lose sight of what it is. It's a wedding. It's about celebrating your love and your day. So we're just stripping down all of the outside forces and we're just doing it our way.
And we want it to be fun. And I think if you're having a hard time giving up control, I mean, as you can clearly tell by listening to this entire episode, I'm a control freak. I like to be in control. I like things to be my way and I get it. But you're marrying someone, you have to have a partner and it's a partnership. So you have to include them. Ask their opinion. Like Matt doesn't care about all the ancillary things. I know we want to have good food, good drinks, good music, and that's something I'm including him in on. And like whatever it is, if he wants something, cool, let's make it happen. As long as it's nothing crazy and outlandish.
But also let him know that if he's not making an effort and he's not weighing in on certain things, if things aren't exactly to his liking, don't get mad at you.
Right.
That's the thing. Like Leah's made it abundantly clear, hey, I need your help with this, 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 and this. That's all I want. I know she can have free reign over the rest, but if all of a sudden we have some crappy like mariachi band instead of the band that we're the musicians that we want, then I'm going to have a little bit of a problem with it.
Right.
So that's on me to step up and say, okay, cool. Not that there's anything wrong with the mariachi band, but you know.
Since we're running out of time, I have one more question
one
that
more
pertains
is
to this,
this
and
is
it's going to be a very quick answer when I read this question. Question number two, honey. Would you ever consider an open marriage?
No.
No. Never. I feel like that's a recipe for disaster. It might work for some people, but to me, I'm a pretty freaking traditional and old school. I don't want to be sharing you with anybody. You are mine.
One is more than enough for me.
Babe, what does that mean?
You know exactly what it means. It means we have to go. It means we're out of time.
I have to sing this rendition. We've been getting a lot of tweets and questions about it.
What do you have to say?
About what you... Because you're the mother... that put it out there the other day on Twitter.
What?
About my mashup.
Because it was bizarre.
So I, you know, for the Bear With Us faithful, the listeners, I'm going to give them a little.
I think I should wait till next week.
Yankee this Doodle like went to town riding on a pony, stuck a feather in his hat and called it macaroni in a pot. That's some wet ass.
Can I have my ring back?
Babe, no.
Please.
You guys refill the mailbag, bearwithuspod@gmail.com. Follow, subscribe, like, link us on LinkedIn, YouTube, everything. We're there. Love us, like us, hate us, whatever. Just tell us what you like.
Oh, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Hopefully, we'll have some really, really cool news for you guys in the next several weeks. By the end of the
yes.
month, at the absolute latest, working on some huge, mega, awesome, fantastic stuff. And that is not hyperbole. It's just a very well-kept secret right now. And hopefully, we'll have some details for you. It's all good. It's all coming your way. Thank you for coming back and hanging out once again. Tell a friend. Tell a partner. If you have an open marriage, tell both of them.
We had so much fun today. I had so much fun today. Matt, not so much. We have so much to catch up on. It's been months and months without you guys. Obviously, today we're talking about the engagement story, but there's so much to catch up on, and we cannot wait to fill you all in. We can't wait to hear about what you guys are up to. And until then...
Goodbye forever.
Bye.
You're supposed to say bear with us.
Oh, bear with us.
Wow.
It's been too long.
Wow.
Bear with us.
Wow.